Hebrews chapter 11. This morning we're going to continue our study in the book of Hebrews, and we come to chapter 11, probably the most familiar chapter in the book of Hebrews. But as we've studied verse by verse through the book, it puts it in a much better context. A lot of people, as they study the book, they feel like the 11th chapter is kind of out of place. Hebrews spends a lot of time going on about how great Jesus is, how he's superior, better, greater than the old covenant, and how that we must abandon the old to come into the new, how that we need to let go of everything and just put all our faith in Christ alone. And that's what it comes to, and that's why we come to chapter 11, to help us understand what faith is. And so we come to Hebrews chapter 11. This morning we're going to study verses 1 through 3. And I want to invite you again to stand, if you're able, to honor the Word of God this morning as we read our text. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, for all who have come to worship you, and I pray that you would help us to grow in your grace and knowledge through faith in your holy word today. Help us to understand what faith is. Help us to have real faith in your word and in you today, and just help our faith to grow, our hope and our love. Lord, help us to be what you want us to be. Lord, I pray that decisions would be made for Christ today. If there are any here who are unsaved, they would repent and trust in Christ alone and call on you and receive the gift of eternal life. There are others who need to make decisions for baptism, to serve you here in the church, whatever it is. Lord, I pray your will would be done. We love you. We thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As we consider faith this morning, I want to start by saying that like many terms, biblical terms, there is a lot of confusion. There's a lot of disagreement about what faith is and what it is not among Christians today. And you've probably heard a lot. You've thought a lot about faith. But we want to know what the Bible says about faith today. And so we're going to see a description given, and then we're going to see a demonstration given on what faith is. Yes. And so we go back to verse 1 and see that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now this is a description of what faith is. These are some characteristics or some elements of faith. Now if you'll just bear with me a second, you can think about love, another Bible word that's kind of misused a lot of times, but we want to know what love is, godly love or charity is, that agape love. Well, we go to the Bible to see what it is. We go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and he gives us a great list of characteristics about what love is, about what charity, godly love is, and we learn about it there. And the same thing's true here. I don't know that this is an exhaustive definition of faith, but it is a description of faith. It gives us these elements, the characteristics about what faith is. So look at it here with me. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, this word substance is an interesting word. We read it in a verse in the very beginning of our study in Hebrews. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, we find this same word, substance, used as the description of Jesus Christ is given. And look at Hebrews 1 real quickly with me. As a matter of fact, just go back to verse 1. Hebrews 1, 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So, in the beginning, God spoke through the prophets, but now, in these last days, he spoke through his Son. And then he says in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, in verse 3, that word person, If you would underline that word, if you're the kind that does that, but that word person is the same word for substance in Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Jesus Christ is the express image of the person of God. That's who God is. In other words, Jesus Christ said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. Now, nobody's seen the Father physically with the physical eyes, but by faith, spiritually, we see God the Father through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the express image of His person. He's a representation of who God is. It's also rendered in Hebrews 3 and verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So this word substance, it's the person, it's the confidence. Think about it like this. We think about hope. It's what God's got in store for us in the future. What faith really is, friends, is faith is hope in the present tense. It's those things that God's promised. It's those things that we can't see with physical eyes. It's those things that we know are coming that are far off, but we live it today because we have faith. Faith is hope in the present tense. It's what we're holding on to, and real biblical faith causes us to live a different kind of life. I mean, if we really believe something, it's going to change the way that we live. Faith is the substance. It's our confidence in the things that we hope for. These things hope for. It's the idea of trust and hope. Matthew 12, 21. And in His name shall the Gentiles trust. That's the things hoped for. Romans 8, 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we not with patience wait for it? And Romans tries to tell us this hope is those things that are far off. Well, faith is what gives those things substance. Faith is what makes those things real. Faith is, I know that I have a home in heaven one day. Faith is, I know that Christ died for me and rose again. I don't see those things with physical eyes, but I believe them. And that gives it substance. It gives it reality for me today. Listen, friends, you're sitting in this church this morning because of faith. Because you believe that the Word of God is true. You believe that Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. You believe that those who repent and trust in Christ have everlasting life, that there is an inheritance prepared for those who believe in Him. And that's the reality. That's the substance. That's what makes it real and changes the way we live today. It's faith. It's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, people say they don't have faith. I hear atheists talk about the fact that they don't have faith, they don't believe in anything and all that kind of stuff, but we all have a naturalistic kind of faith all the time. I mean, you think about it from the very simplest thing. You came in here and sat down on the pew and you didn't think about it. You just trusted that pew would hold you up. You just believed it. You go to the store to buy something and you use money. Well, is there any substance? Is there any real thing to that money? It's a piece of paper with the president's picture on it. Does it really have any value? No, you have faith. By faith, that money works. Now, that's a naturalistic, it's a worldly faith, but it's faith nonetheless. We believe in things. And what God wants us to do is to believe in His Word. Listen, faith is always, biblical faith is based on the Word of God. And if it's outside the Word of God, then it's not biblical faith at all. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now, this word evidence is a very interesting word. In 2 Timothy 3:16, you might be familiar with that verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, that word reproof is the same word for evidence. It's a proof. It's a demonstration. It's also confidence. Titus 1:9 says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. This is what this evidence is. It's our confidence. It's our proof. It's what makes this faith real. These phrases, substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen, they're very, very close to the same thing, just a little bit different. And I think that the evidence of things not seen takes that idea of the substance of things hoped for, just takes it to a next level. In other words, the substance, it's the reality, it's what makes what we're hoping for real is what our faith does. It makes it real. But the evidence of things not seen just takes it to another level. It's our confidence. It's our trust. By the way, I was watching a debate the other day between some atheists and some Christians, and the Christians kept trying to tell the atheists that they had faith too. Listen, there's basically two ideas. We'll get into this in a minute, but there's basically two ideas for how everything came about. It basically comes down to the Big Bang and evolution. It comes down to God's word, that God created everything, right? And the Christians kept telling the atheists that they had faith, and the atheist said, no, we don't have faith. He says, I have confidence. And so the Christian said, from the Latin, con, meaning with, and fides, meaning faith. The word confidence means with faith. And that's what our faith is. It's our confidence that the things of God are true, that the word of God is true. That's what it is. It's our hope. It's our evidence. It's hope in the present tense. The things that are not seen. If you'll skip ahead just a little bit there in our text, Hebrews 11, look down at verse 13. And we're going to study these things out. All these great heroes of the faith, if you will, the roll call of faith, the hall of fame of faith, whatever you want to call it. We're going to study these out. But down at verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Friends, that's what faith is. Faith is that you've seen the promises of God. Now, they didn't see those things with physical eyes, with these eyeballs in their head. They didn't physically look on those things and their brain process those images. No, they were seen by faith. God showed them those things by his word, and they believed it, and it changed their life. And I'm just trying to tell you today, if we have real faith, it's demonstrated by the way that we live our life. If we really believe the word of God, it's going to change our life, and it's an awesome thing. And you think about those who came before us, the elders that obtained a good report, these men and women, they believed the word of God, and they acted on their faith, and God blessed them and records all the things that God accomplished through their life because they believed. They saw those things by faith afar off. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And friends, that's what faith does. We're persuaded. We believe that it's true. We embrace those things. We hold on to it. It's evidenced by our life. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. That's a description. Now look at the demonstration. Now verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now this elders, it's those who came before us, those who believed. And you look through the list, he talks about Abel, who offered a more excellent sacrifice to God. Verse 5, faith. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. In verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. These people heard the word of God. They believed. They had faith in the word of God. And therefore, it was demonstrated by the way that they lived. They obtained a good report. That word, good report, it means that they had a good witness. Now, you just think just for a moment, and like I said, we'll study these things more in depth later, but you just think about these people, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Jochebed and Moses and on down the list. You think about all those who had faith in God, believed the promise of God, it changed the way that they lived. Can you imagine for a moment what it was like? I mean, think about Noah. I mean, it hadn't rained yet, and God said it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. There's going to be a great flood. And Noah, for 120 years, he built the ark and he preached. He was a preacher of righteousness. And I believe that he was there trying to persuade those people that they needed to believe in God because judgment was coming. And he faithfully believed in things that he couldn't see. But he believed it, so it changed the way that he lived. And I just want to tell you today, we can come to church and we read our Bible and we say, I believe in heaven and I believe in hell and I believe the gospel and I believe in Jesus. But does it change the way that we live? If we believe in heaven and hell, that means we have to repent and trust in Christ. Amen. If we believe the word of God is true and he's established his church to carry out his work, for this time period, for this age, then it means we ought to get saved and we ought to be baptized and serve the Lord in the church. If we believe these things, it ought to change the way that we live. I've often wondered about myself, do I really believe in hell? Because I think that if we really believed in hell as Christians, it would change the way that we live our life. We would be better witnesses. We would be striving to tell others and to warn others of the judgment to come. If we really believe that everybody who dies without Christ will spend eternity in hell, it'll change the way we witness. So I look at my life and I say, man, do I really believe it? If I pass up opportunities to share the gospel, if I don't give out a gospel tract, if I don't share Christ with others every chance I get, do I really believe in hell? And the answer is, friends, I do believe. Therefore, it must change the way that I live. For by it the elders obtained a good report. What was it? It was by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. By faith, over and over and over again through this whole chapter, he tells about men and women who by faith did great things for the honor and glory of God, and they did those things because of their faith. Now, there's a lot of confusion about this whole idea of faith and works. And I want to kind of get through this real quick with you. James chapter 2, if you would please, verse 17. James chapter 2 and verse 17. Well, we don't have that time to go through it a lot today, but if you study the book of Romans and the book of Galatians, you're going to find verses that say things like, it's not of works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? So the Word of God over and over makes us understand you're not saved by works. You're saved by faith. You're saved by faith. You're saved by faith. Then you come along to verses like this, James chapter 2 and verse 17, and people say, oh, see right there, you got to have works to be saved. And I want you to understand this. You don't work so that you can be saved. You work because you are saved. Amen. Faith causes us to work. Real faith. Real belief in Christ causes us to live for Christ. James chapter 2 and verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. I told you the other day, I was talking to a young man who believes he can lose his salvation. He thinks that he can get to a place of sinless perfection, and if he doesn't keep that sinless perfection and he dies in that condition, he'll go straight to hell. And what a sad, sad belief. I want to tell you something, friends. You're never going to get to heaven based on your works. It's not faith plus works. And he brought up this verse. See right there. He said, faith without works is dead, being alone. I said, amen. And he looked at me kind of funny. He said, see, dead. I said, that's right. What's dead? He said, what do you mean? I said, read the verse, brother. What does it say? What is dead? It doesn't say you're dead. It says your faith is dead. Listen, if God saves you through faith in Jesus Christ, then he's given you eternal life. Amen. But if you've got the kind of faith that doesn't result in working for God, then there's something wrong with your faith. There's not something wrong with the salvation that God has given you. You guys with me? If your faith in Christ doesn't result in a changed life that's living for Christ, there's something wrong with your faith. There's nothing wrong with God's salvation. Your faith is dead. You've got the wrong kind of faith. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, look, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. If thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Abraham could say all day, I believe God, I believe God, I believe God. But when God said, go kill Isaac, he did it. He was willing to do it. He had his knife in the hand, the son bound on the altar, and was ready to follow through with it. Why? Because he had real faith. See, Abraham thought he was going to have to kill Isaac and that God was going to raise him up from the dead. That's what Abraham thought. But he believed God. God promised me this son, and God promised that there would be a great nation come from him. He has to live. So if God wants me to kill him, I can kill him, but God is able to raise him up. God's going to keep his promise. That's how much he believed the promise of God. And see how his faith was made perfect with his works? It was brought to completion because he obeyed it. And see, I just want to get real with you for a second today. I'm a little confused with people who say, I believe in God, I believe in God, I believe in God, but they won't repent and trust Christ. They say, I believe in God, but they won't get baptized. They say, I believe in God, but they won't study their Bible. They won't pray. They won't witness. They won't live the Christian life. But they say, I believe. Listen, if your faith is the kind of belief that doesn't lead you to live for God, there's something wrong with your faith. The devils believe also and tremble. You see, there is a belief that doesn't bring life. See, go back to our text, Hebrews 11, and then back up one verse to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 39. You remember towards the end of chapter 10, it was warning about apostasy, those who were almost saved. They were around church. They looked saved. They acted saved, but they weren't really saved. And by the way, the Lord warned about that, didn't he? He said there would be tares among the wheat. You guys remember that? Let me help you out. This means yes. This means no. You guys remember how the Lord said there would be wheat and there would be tares among the wheat? And those tares, they look like saved people, but you never know until the crop comes, the fruit comes in. Until the fruit comes in, you don't know if they're the real deal or not. And this is a teaching throughout the Bible. There will be those who claim to be saved, but they're not really saved. Well, how do you know, preacher? Well, the Bible says to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Amen. Now, you might think that it's your spiritual gift to go around deciding who's saved and who isn't, but you would be wrong. Amen. It's your job to figure out if you're saved or not. Examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. But the warning is here. There is apostasy. There are those who seem to be saved, but they're not really saved. And they'll turn away. When it all comes down to it, they'll turn away from Christ. And he says in verse 39, chapter 10, verse 39, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You know what that tells me? There is a belief that won't save you. There is a belief. There is a mental assent. There is a, and I talk to those people, oh, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But they don't trust in him to the saving of their soul. Do you see the difference? I'm trying to tell you this morning, there are people who believe in God and believe in Jesus who will end up in hell. And what a terrible, terrible truth. They've never trusted in him to the saving of the soul. And that's what he's trying to help us with today. So he says, we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but to them that believe to the saving of the soul. And then he goes on in verse, back in verse 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. He said, we believe to the saving of the soul because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, because look at the elders. Look at how they believed God and they acted on their faith. You think about Moses' mom. Man, how much faith did she have? I'm not going to kill this baby. I'm not going to do it. I trust in God. She couldn't hide him any longer, so she had to give him up. She made the little basket and pitched it with tar and put it out there and trusted God to take care of that baby boy. Isn't that amazing? She did all that she could, and the Bible says that she could no longer hide him. She had to do something else. And so she left that baby in God's hands, and God took care. Don't you love that too? Amen. Pharaoh's daughter found baby Moses in the river and wanted to keep him, but she wanted a Hebrew nurse to take care of him. And who else got to raise that baby because of her faith? But his own mother. How great is our God? When we act in faith, God can do amazing things. So the demonstration of faith is seen by the elders and their good report. But look at verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, I told you a moment ago, there's two basic ideas in the world about where we all came from, the origins. Most people in the world today, you need to understand this, most people, even so-called Christians, believe that the world, that the whole universe, the worlds were created by a Big Bang. And if you read in a science textbook, it'll say something like this: a space no bigger than a period on this page exploded into everything. I mean, makes sense, right? And I want you to understand why scientists who don't believe in God come up with this stuff. Because everything in the universe points to this picture that everything came from nothing. Scientifically, when they study the cosmos, when they look out there in the universe, when they see all the light and the gravity and the white matter and the dark matter and all of those different things that are going on out there in space, and they do these calculations, they try to figure out where it all came from and how it all started, it all points back to everything came from nothing, and they can't get their minds around that. How does that happen? So a tiny little speck exploded and everything. It was so dense it contained all the matter in the universe. And by the way, you and I can't even begin to comprehend how big the universe is. There's about 100 billion stars in every galaxy, and we have no idea how many galaxies they are. Estimates range from about 300 billion to over a trillion. And by the way, that's ridiculous. The vast number of stars, which by the way, God said they're innumerable. But a speck, no bigger than a period there in your Bible, exploded into everything. But scientists, as they study these things, these cosmologists and astrophysicists, they look at it and they say, well, it looks like everything came from nothing. And I say, Hebrews 11:3. Look at it. The things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. The universe didn't create itself. The matter and the space and the time, it didn't come from itself. It came from something outside of itself. Something bigger than everything made everything. And His name is God. His name is Jesus Christ. So why do we believe that, though? I want you to get this. I told you about those atheists. They say they don't have faith, they have confidence. It's confidence with faith. The reality is, when it comes to the origins, everybody who believes anything about where the world came from has to believe it by faith. What do you mean? Because we can't see it. Now, you can choose to believe the scientists if you want to. You can choose to believe the stuff that they put out there and their theories about the Big Bang and evolution and all those things. You can choose to believe that if you want to, but you're going to have to take it on faith. Nobody was there to see it but God Himself. Or you can believe God and His word, that God said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now you can choose to believe the scientists, or you can choose to believe God, but either way, you're going to have to believe by faith. Why do I believe that God created the world? Because God said so. Ultimately, my faith rests on that. Now, I love science. I love to study those things. I like to look at the biblical evidence. And I mean, there's so much out there. It's amazing. And listen, it's a pretty neat thing, because you can take the same evidence from science, geology, whatever you want to look at, and you take a Christian scientist and you take a evolutionist, and they'll say completely different things about the same evidence. And we can argue that stuff all day long, and I can give you all these evidences, great truths in the Bible that God revealed before science ever figured it out. Like the earth is a circle and it hangs on nothing. Isaiah told us that 800 years before Christ was born, 1,000 years before worldly scientists figured it out. I mean, and there's example after example after example like that. But at the end of the day, friends, I believe that God created the worlds because He said so. And that's really what faith is about, friends. It's about believing the word of God. Why did those elders obtain a good report? Because God told them something and they believed it. Our faith, biblical faith, is based on the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But why does that matter? I told you there's a lot of confusion about what faith is, just like there's a lot of confusion about what salvation is. Some people think that faith is whatever you can muster up in your mind and believe hard enough you can make it real. Have you ever guys heard of those guys? Some of you probably watch them on TV. They believe that faith is whatever you say. They say things, their doctrine, their belief is that you have power in your words, and if you'll just speak the word with faith, you can make it so. Listen, you want a brand new 3,000 square foot house? You just say it, and you say it, and you believe it, and it'll happen. And if it doesn't, it's because you didn't believe. Pretty handy, isn't it? I mean, if you get the doctor tells you that you have terminal cancer, you just say, I don't have terminal cancer, and if you believe it hard enough, you can make it so. I want you to understand something, friends. Faith has never been about what we come up with on our minds. Ever. And it never will be. That is not faith. Faith is, thus saith the Lord, and I believe, thus saith the Lord. It's got to be based on the Word of God, or it's worthless. People try to take and twist and pervert the Word of God to make it something it's not. And you say, well, I don't like the way you're preaching. But look at verse 1 again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, what is it that we're hoping for? Our hope is in the promises of God. Our hope is not in the dreams and ideas and imaginations of our own heart and mind. That's crazy. The imaginations of our heart and mind are wicked. And fleshly and carnal, our hope is not found in our own ideas. Our hope is found in the Word of God. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. It's what the Word of God says that we hope for, and that's what faith is. It's the substance of that hope that comes from the Word of God. Now, some of you are a little disappointed. I get it, that name it and claim it teaching might be appealing to a lot of people. When I see the tens of thousands who flock to those messages, I see that it is appealing to a lot of people. But what you need to understand is that's not biblical faith at all. You don't have any magic power in your words. The only word that has power is God's word. And oh, what power it has. See, some people might be disappointed that faith isn't just whatever I come up with. If I believe it really, really, really hard, it'll happen. But I got news for you. The promises of God are far better than anything you could come up with on your own. The truth of God's word is far better than anything you can imagine. And what He has given us is His Word. And when we study this Word and we dig in this Word and we search for the hidden treasures of this Word, we find the promises of God. And when we believe those promises, that's faith, and it gives substance, it gives reality to the truth that we hope for. And that's good stuff, friends. Amen. This is worth living for. Amen. And when we live it out today, that's what faith really is. What is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen, it is hope in the present tense. This morning, we're going to get ready for an invitation. And while our musicians are coming, would you stand with me? I don't know what situation might be in your heart or your life today, but I know this. A lot of people believe today that you just have to have faith in anything. If you're spiritual, if you just believe, that it'll all be well. But friends, we have the foundation. We have the truth of the Word of God to believe today. We have something to hope for, and it's the promises of God. Now, He's proven Himself. He's proven His Word. We look in Romans chapter 1, and He tells us that the invisible things of Him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. There's not a reasonable person on the planet that can go out and look at the stars at night and say, oh, what an incredible accident. There's not a reasonable person on the planet that doesn't know deep down in their heart that there is a God. There is someone, and he's revealed himself to us through his word. You can trust in him today. You can live for him today. Now, our faith ought to change the way that we live. Maybe there's something that you need to decide about today, to trust Christ for the very first time, to follow him in baptism and church membership, to live for him because you truly believe his word. And if he's convicting your heart this morning, if there's something you need to do, a decision you need to make for Christ, will you come while we sing?
Page 5.